Welcome back, Insiders. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Therapy Insiders. If you listened to last week's episode, we had a ton of conversations, discussions, and everything in between started with Kelly Starrett. And it brought up a couple questions about where we are in the overall identity in terms of physical therapy with movement, with exercise, in the big picture of helping people live more active lives. So in this week's podcast, I had Zach Long, also known as the Barbell Physio, chat with me and Joe about some of those topics, as well as, are we really good, we as in physical therapy, are we really good at strength and conditioning? We know exercise is sure, in terms of rehab, but is that enough? Are we doing enough for the people? Can we do more? And what does that entail? Are we a little too afraid of lifting heavy? We also touched on some of Zach's social media endeavors. He's been putting out a lot of really cool content, so we wanted to check it out. And speaking of really cool content, Zach's got a free sports performance summit, May 9th through the 16th. Check that out, globalperformancesummit.com. All right, you ready to listen to this episode? It's a pretty good one. Before we jump into it, let's hear a word from our sponsors, WebPT and IntakeQ. All right, Insiders. Therapy Insiders is sponsored by WebPT, the end-to-end business solution for private practice rehab therapists, providing everything from documentation and scheduling to RCM services, billing software, and outcomes tracking. WebPT's mission is to help rehab therapists, such as yourselves, achieve greatness in practice, and that starts with education. That's why WebPT hosts a free webinar every month, and they're pretty good. Join Dr. Heidi Janenga and Charlotte Bonet on May 19th as they unveil 5 top-secret ways insurance companies beat you on reimbursements and explain to you how you can turn the tables in your favor. To learn more and register, visit webpt.com/PT billing. You don't want to miss that one. Therapy Insiders is also sponsored by IntakeQ. That's the letter Q. Do you want to improve your patient experience before your patient even walks into the clinic? Of course you do. Then you definitely want to check out IntakeQ, digitizing the patient intake experience. Check out IntakeQ, that's what the letter Q, .com/UpDocMedia to get a 2-week free trial and 50% off the first month of service. You definitely can't beat that. Check it out. And now, on to Therapy Insiders with our guest, Kelly Starrett. Strap in.
What's up, Doc? Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders. Dr. Gene Chirac-Abrad here with Dr. Joe Palmer. Urson had to be a late scratch. His daughter sprained her ankle doing gymnastics, or at least that's what he says. No, I believe him. I believe him. He won't lie, Joe. Urson's not the kind. He is not the kind to make things up.
I don't think so either. Not about his daughter.
Especially when not about his daughter. Exactly. Exactly. So, Joe, I recently had my second child, baby Zoe.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been exciting. It's been fun. It's been somewhat sleep depriving, which is normal because we have to wake up and feed her every 3 hours at night. So sleep is disrupted, even for a slight bit. It's not a ton, but still sleep is thrown off. And while I'm in a sleep deprived state, I like to read. I obviously do a lot on social media. And I watch a lot of what's going on in the field, keep track of things, and just see what people are putting out. And I'm sure you're similar, and you'll be even more so because you have a little kiddo on the way. And I think the first one is even more of a shock to the system. At least it's kind of like riding a bike with the second one, even though it's the terrible sleep deprived bike. It's still a fun ride, but eventually you figure it out. It all comes back. So I like to just kind of check things out, see how things are going in the field and in business and marketing and definitely physical therapy. And one of the things I do is check social media. I mean, are you frequently on social media? Are you like checking things out, or are you focusing more on running your business and whatever free time you have, just sleeping or spending time with Casey?
I mean, you know that I can't lie and say that I'm on as much as you, Gene, but I am on enough to be familiar with our guest.
That is a good thing. That is a good thing. So our guest is one of the people that I've been watching for a little while now, and he's been putting out some really, really cool stuff. And before we get to him, as I am working and building a business and doing the baby stuff, I feel like I start watching things that I live vicariously through. Is that just me, or do you do something similar like that too, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I live vicariously through everything that he writes about. I don't want to do some of the stuff that he's doing, but you know what? It's pretty cool stuff, and let's get him on and talk about it.
It is pretty cool stuff. So our guest is Zach Long, and Zach, you're from North Carolina, right?
Correct. North Carolina.
So Zach from North Carolina has been putting out some really cool fitness, strength training, physical therapy, hybrid stuff. And Zach, dude, I'm here at home with my kid. I'm growing a freaking business. I'm don't have time to work out. And I'm watching you not only working out and doing some awesome stuff, but like coming up with crazy workout rehab exercises for your patients. And like for the first time in a while, I'm watching this. I'm like, man, I wish I was practicing full time so I could get to use some of the stuff you come up with. When did you start coming up with all this stuff, and when did you decide to start putting it up on social media?
My dad is a high school strength and conditioning coach, has been that for 30 years, and my dad's just one of those crazy guys that every single day has a new exercise in his mind, and I think that his way of looking at things really influenced me and got me looking at standard exercises that we do in rehab or standard exercises in the strength and conditioning world and always wanting to put a little different twist on it. It's in my genes, man. It's in my genes, Gene.
That's fun.
So you're born into this.
I pay attention to a lot of other people on social media as well. I'm looking at guys from the functional range conditioning, Dave Tilly, Urson. You know, there's a ton of people out there right now putting out great exercises, and I'd be a complete liar if I didn't say that I'm stealing a lot of other people's stuff and maybe tweaking it a little bit or straight copying it.
Well, I think in the world of social media, unless something is super unique to somebody, everything gets recycled. And if you're original for any period of time, the hope is that somebody takes what you're doing and adds on to it, as long as they at least give you some kind of credit if it was like super unique. But that's the whole point of social media. Everything is recycled, and you create your own programs. And then it comes down to marketing, right? Like you can create the best thing in the world, but unless you know how to sell it and who to sell it to properly, then you really don't have anything. How have you been doing in terms of not only creating those exercises, but disseminating it to the masses?
As far as getting my information out to people, I've been doing pretty good lately. I've not been on social media for a very long time as far as Facebook and Instagram goes from a business perspective. I believe I started that in September-ish of last year. And so I've had pretty rapid growth with that, which I think just comes down to a lot of knowing who my market was and specifically targeting them with almost everything I do and putting out lots and lots of content. Those are two really big keys. If you want to grow who you are online as a brand, you've got to be doing those two things. If you're not providing content that people that you're trying to reach want, then you're not going to get anywhere. And if you're inconsistent and not regularly posting stuff out, nobody's going to ever find you if you put one thing out a month.
What's regular for you, Zach?
I have at least, I share at least one or two other people's content on my social media every day. As far as Instagram posts go, I try to be at least five times a week. Sometimes it's five times in a day, and I try to do a better job of spreading stuff out, but I just try to stay as regularly as I can. I have in the past had like a share schedule where I would literally have something planned every single day for a month, and I would share that on my Instagram on the day that I had it assigned. Currently, I've just had so much good stuff pop up in my mind, or exercises that I'm doing with patients or things I'm doing in the gym, that I've just got a backlog of stuff. So I'm putting out more than one thing a day to kind of unload my phone and my camera and things like that.
Nice. So you're creating something once a day, as far as shooting material.
Yeah, I can't remember the last day I wasn't shooting a video or posting a video or writing a blog post or something like that. It's a daily thing.
That's the kind of commitment to it that you're talking about, right?
Right. If you're just doing it part-time and just kind of doing it when you feel like, and actually I think Ryan DeBell said this on a recent podcast, if you're treating it like it's a hobby and not like it's your job, you're going to really limit yourself. And when you go with the mindset of this is your job and this is what you're going to do to support yourself, then you got to get after it.
Well, one of the things that I hear all the time, because this is kind of part of the UpDoc Media thing that we do, is, you know, we create social media campaigns and ad campaigns for clinics, is we hear owners saying all the time is, I don't have time for this, or I don't know how to do this, I don't feel comfortable with that, which is understandable. Obviously, you know, we said every single time you go to PT school and you graduate as a physical therapist, and then as a physical therapist, you decide to open up a business or be in business. You're not necessarily a business person. Especially in the world of social media and digital marketing, it's a different beast, and we get that. But having said that, even if you want to just be out there and put stuff out, just having consistency and doing something once a day, I mean, I don't think most people realize that what an Instagram video is limited to, how many seconds, Zach?
15 seconds.
15 seconds. 15 seconds to create a video of an exercise that you're probably doing in the clinic anyway, and then put some hashtags on there of relevant things, maybe the area that you work in, the city that you're around, and just put it on there and you're good to go. Obviously, it's not necessarily that simple, but just to have something, that's all you need, right?
You don't have to get too fancy with it. You know, yeah, just pull your camera out. Most people have smartphones right now, and you're probably doing 3 to 5 things a day, no matter what setting you're in, that you can film that would provide valuable content to somebody else out there. And it most of my posts, most of the pictures and videos I send aren't something that I set my camera up for and shoot. It's just a, hey, so-and-so athlete, you mind if I shoot a video of this? I think some people out there would really learn from this. And most of the time people agree, and 15 seconds later, I have a video, and when I upload it, that takes me, you know, an extra 30 seconds to write up a little caption to it and add some hashtags and go. It's if you make the commitment, it's not that hard.
So that's part of an overall marketing campaign called inbound marketing. And what that means is you create a bunch of content and you give it away for free. You provide so much value for people that eventually they will buy from you. Outbound marketing is more traditional marketing that you're doing, the flyers, the radio ads, the things like that, where you're directly selling to somebody. And you have to have a combination of the two, absolutely. But to build up a brand, to build up a customer awareness, a customer comfort with you, it's not enough anymore, because the market is so saturated with information and selling all the time that savvy customers will pick out the brands and the companies that are providing the value. I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk has an entire company, or at least entire personal brand, of selling the inbound, what he calls jabs. It's you provide so much love and information and content to your customers that eventually you throw a right hook with a sell. People jump on that because they want to support you. So, that, I mean, it sounds like that's what you're doing, because I've been watching your videos, man, and they're pretty cool.
Absolutely, man. One of my favorite sayings or things to live by is to share with abundance. And I believe that if you're out there and you're giving and giving and giving more to others than you ever ask for them, giving them tons of free stuff, that will never bite you in the butt. It'll always pay off in the long run.
You hear that, Joe? It's not going to bite you in the butt.
That's good. Some of these squats and lifts he's doing seem like they might bite you in the butt, though.
One of my other sayings that I like to live by are that heavy squats fix everything.
There you go.
I like that. All right. Let's on that topic, let's talk a little bit, switch gears from marketing, and we'll come back to that a little bit later. But let's talk a little physical therapy and strength training, because I feel like this has been, it's been an important topic that has only been scratched in terms of the efficiency of physical therapists to really understand and prescribe exercises. And we talked a while back with Chad Cook when he was on the podcast. We actually asked him that question, and his answer was pretty interesting. So if you haven't listened to that episode, definitely look back to the Chad Cook one. But what do you think, Zach? Do you think physical therapists are actually the best at exercise? Are we limited in terms of strength? Because I feel like a lot of times we shy away from heavy lifting.
No, we're definitely not the best. I think we're as a whole a little too scared to load people appropriately to build strength. We're scared that we're going to hurt people a little bit too much. And I've been just as guilty of this as everybody else. And I think our education, at least for me, on a strength conditioning standpoint in physical therapy school was well below what it should be. Fortunately, I came from a strength conditioning background, having previously worked in college strength conditioning. So I kind of knew most of that stuff beforehand, but I just knew so many of my classmates that were looking at going, you know, into more active populations didn't have that background, and that was going to really hurt them. And they were going to be doing really simple rehab exercises with guys that need to be seriously challenged. You know, like TheraBand internal external rotations have a great place in rehab. But if you look at my videos on what I'm doing with CrossFit athletes and elite Olympic weightlifters, they're not sitting there doing TheraBand internal and external rotations to get shoulder stability back. We're doing kettlebells overhead, bottoms up. We're doing Turkish get-ups. We got, you know, PVC pipes with rubber bands hanging down and weights hanging from it. You got to get serious with some strength and conditioning principles if you want to rehab a lot of people to the best of our ability. And we're not hitting that as well as we should right now if we're going to call ourselves the best in exercise and the best in movement.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, Zach. I think that we're falling short from the curriculum standpoint in school, and I think that carries over into practice. And people, many PTs don't know what to do when they get somebody that is higher level. Because the same exercises don't work. It's just like you said, they're not going to be challenged to the point of strength gains. And the thing is that what I tell my therapist is know what you're trying to do, right? If you're at a point in the rehab program where you're not going for strength gains, you're going for neuromuscular activation and control, and you're trying to work at that level, then dose at that level. But if you're trying to make strength gains, don't dose at the same level, right?
Absolutely.
Have a purpose.
Can a general population benefit from strength training? Not the elite level, not the CrossFitters, not the Olympic weightlifters. Can your 40-year-old weekend warrior or your 70-year-old grandma, can they benefit from these principles as well? And should they?
So I'm not a research junkie, and I haven't gone out and read every research study on it. But my personal belief is that everybody, whether you're a 40-year-old couch potato, whether you're grandma, whether you're an endurance athlete, needs to be doing strength training. I think having strength through the entire body is what's going to prevent a lot of injuries. There's been some studies on that. Again, I hadn't gone through and dissected everything about them. But strength training as a whole has been shown repeatedly to reduce injuries and increases people's quality of life. So I believe everybody should be doing some form of strength conditioning. Certainly does not need to be the only thing you do or the main thing you do. If you like to run, go run, but you know, get some strength in as well if you want to stay injury free and be able to run to the best of your ability.
What do you think, Joe? Doing some Turkish get-ups with a 72-year-old that came to the clinic?
Yeah, I mean, with anything, I think that when you're doing these complex moves, you have to have a baseline level of strength that allows you to do that. Okay, so I'm not going to put somebody that doesn't, has never seen a dumbbell in their life and get them to do some of these more explosive type movements or swings or things like that until they really need, in my opinion, a baseline level of competence, muscular competence, in order to start on some of these more advanced lifts. So it depends on what population you're treating. If you're treating athletes and weekend warriors and people that know their way around a small gym, then I think there is a place to progress them into these some more multi-joint dynamic type movements that really work on developing a muscular chain. You really have to bring multiple joints in and control multiple joints. I think that's a good thing, but in large part not the population that I typically see. So
are the strength movements, are they not quote unquote functional movements that regardless if you have weight on while you're doing them that most people should be doing anyway? Like if you break down Turkish get up, I mean, a elderly person should be able to do that because that's an excellent progression to work on if they fall down, or swings, even doing the swing without a weight to focus on the hinge of the hips. I mean, anybody can benefit from that when it's broken down, right? And then you can, I think, Zach, you're alluding to this, then you can gradually load the motion once the motion is established.
Everything is absolutely about proper scaling. I mean, for me and what I want to do athletically, doing squats with a couple hundred pounds is necessary to my athletic development. To somebody like Urson, lifting his pink dumbbells is what he needs to be in the physical shape that he's going for.
He has 150 pounds. It's 150 pounds per pink dumbbell. So
hopefully you'll hear that little hit about the pink dumbbells.
Just because they're colored. We're not. He has what, like 16 girls at this point. So pink is nothing to him at this point.
Hope you're enjoying this episode with guest Zach Long talking a little fitness. A lot more to come with Zach, including his favorite exercises and the role physical therapists really play in loading and heavy lifting. But before we get to that, let's take a few minutes and listen to words from our sponsors, WebPT and Intake Q. At the start of this podcast, I told you that we're sponsored by WebPT, the end-to-end business solution for private practice rehab therapists, providing everything from documentation and scheduling to RCM services, billing software, and outcomes tracking. WebPT provides a free monthly webinar to help educate providers on being better in practice and business. So I grabbed Charlotte Bonet, who will be presenting with Dr. Heidi Janenger on the webinar, and I asked her, hey, Char, the topic for your webinar this month is on PT billing. So what will people learn when they tune in?
Hey, Gene, great question. In an effort to improve their bottom lines, insurance companies sometimes use the vastly complex reimbursement rules and regulations to their advantage. But physical therapists don't have to be on the losing side of that game, especially if they know their payers' playbooks. In our upcoming webinar, Dr. Heidi Janenga and I will unveil 5 top secret ways insurance companies beat providers on reimbursements and explain how they can turn the tables in their favor. We'll cover modifier mysteries, misbilling misfires, time code tangles, overpayment mismanagement, and contract quandaries. This 60-minute webinar is free and anyone can attend. Register now at webpt.com/ptbilling. That's webpt.com/ptbilling.
Thanks so much, Charlotte. And you should definitely check that out. Who doesn't want to learn how to better deal with insurance companies? Happens to be for free. Check it out, webpt.com/ptbilling. Therapy Insiders is also sponsored by Intake Q. I grabbed Rachel, Intake Q's customer success specialist. How cool is that title, right? And she shared what makes Intake Q awesome, but she also shared a little bit more than that.
the whole idea behind EDQ is, you know, the patient experience. It's your very first interaction with your client, so of course you want it to go as smoothly as possible, and that's what we focus on primarily. We find it to be the most effective way and convenient as well in intake forms in general.
So you have a really cool accent. Where's it from?
Brazil.
Are you in Brazil right now?
No, right now I'm in Dublin.
Okay, is that where you usually do your work from?
No, actually, I'm actually a photographer. I help InTQ because it's the CEO, the owner, it's my ex-boyfriend, so I help him. But I'm a photographer, so I travel all over.
Whoa! So you're helping your ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, he's my best friend. So
InTQ, improving the patient experience by modernizing the intake process while keeping relationships strong, even if it's an ex. Check out InTQ. That's with the letter Q. .com/UpDocMedia to get a discount and a free trial.
All right, now let's jump back into it with Zach Long and hear more about some exercises, some heavy lifting, and some of his favorites.
Well, I mean, certainly there are things like getting up from the ground that I think more elderly people should work on when they're getting rehab. I would love everybody to be working on some sort of hip hinge pattern or squat pattern. But there are times where it's absolutely not possible. And you've got to respect that and scale appropriately. And with the goal for me, usually, and not always, of transitioning away from those lighter exercises, the glute bridges, to doing something more, quote, functional, like a kettlebell deadlift, a barbell deadlift, maybe some squats or swings in the clinic. So my goal to get somebody doing as high a level of activity as possible, especially as it relates to what their long-term goals are.
I support that. I agree with that. I feel like simple sit to stand, once that becomes easy for a patient, you need to give them some weight. You need to change that to, you know, work it towards a goblet type squat, you know, something that continues to challenge them. Too often I think we get satisfied with the ability for patients to do that sit to stand and that's good enough for us to move on, check that box.
Absolutely. But if you get them somebody stronger, like you said, holding a weight with a sit to stand, that makes every sit to stand that they do the rest of the day that much easier and that much less taxing on what they do.
Exactly.
You know, like everybody listening, getting questions from your family doesn't always go the best possible. So my grandma always complains to me about how hard it is to walk to the mailbox, and she thinks that she needs to go walk more to get her endurance up. And we have the same talk every other week about this isn't endurance for you. It's the simple fact that walking to the mailbox is a max strength movement for you right now. And if we could get you building some strength up, then getting to the mailbox isn't going to be a ridiculously taxing exercise for you.
Yeah, what I can't stand, and even back when I was practicing, was people, clinicians, physical therapists, the same ones that fight for the doctor and want to be called a doctor, and then they just amount to being a clipboard. You just stand there and watch somebody doing trivial motions and exercises and not even well. I can't tell you how many times I would see somebody doing an external internal rotation with a TheraBand, and there was no stability, there was no focus, there was no emphasis on quality of the motion. Even if you're going to do something like that, at least have quality in the motion. Versus I think we just check out sometimes if we're super into manual therapy, then we'll focus on manual therapy, which I was for the longest time, guilty as charged. That was my thing. I was going to do manual therapy. And yes, I did exercise and things like that, but I was excited for manual therapy, and I knew I needed my patients to do exercises, and they did that. That was a necessity. But that wasn't as exciting to me. And obviously, the more I practiced and the more I saw and read research and just integrated everything, it became even more important, and I started to transition there. But to see what some therapists are doing is is appalling if you're not integrating, if you're not critically thinking. What's the point of being a doctor in the first place?
Absolutely, man. I regularly give patients, you know, we'll go through 8-10 exercises in a session just to find what are the right things for you to be doing at home. Because I don't want them performing, if it is a T-band external rotation, but I can't get somebody to calm down there to stop extending their elbow and turning it into just a tricep movement. This happened to me today with a total shoulder. You know, I had to try 5 different exercises to find something that got him using his posterior rotator cuff without him doing some crazy compensation, just because he couldn't understand those, what to most of us would seem like a basic movement pattern.
Yeah, it's complacency. I mean, if you're not invested in the treatment and you're not being creative and always thinking about what is the best approach and how can I be creative in integrating everything that I know, then the patient will as well. Like, people pick up on that. If they're just coming to therapy, sitting down, doing some bicep curls, doing some tricep pull downs, you know, doing their pulleys, things like that, that one, it's a terrible reflection of the profession in whole. But that person is absolutely getting nothing out of it. There's no challenge, and that complacency bleeds off. So Joe, being a clinic owner, I'm sure you've seen stuff like that. How do you motivate employees, and how do you make sure that stuff like that doesn't happen, that you're always making sure that everybody's pushing forward and integrating the latest and greatest motions, exercises, and such?
Yeah, well, we try to continue to take it back to function, but I do feel like it is helpful to have everybody use social media, use blogging, use other resources to bring information into the clinic. So I think that one thing that I do personally is I take personal training type courses in order to keep my strength and conditioning certification. So that keeps me grounded in the strength and conditioning literature so that I can consistently bring that perspective to the physical therapy world. And I think that that's needed. I think that to an extent, you have to go outside in order to really bring new lifts and techniques and get outside of the PT bubble, right? And so we work to try to have discussions like this in the clinic so that we're not falling into patterns. I think patterns are the biggest thing that that hurts creativity, right? So if you're falling into patterns with all your patients and you're losing some level of creativity, then you're going to end up doing just basic plug and play therapy.
It's not to say that you shouldn't do best practice exercises. It's not like saying, oh, don't do squats because you've done squats all day, or you have to come up with crazy exercises every single time. That's not the point of it. The point is to integrate.
That's counterproductive too. If you come up with too much craziness, that hurts everybody as well, because your patient can't remember how many exercises you're giving them, and your other staff members that may have to follow up on that patient, they're not going to know the new exercise that you just made up and that you've made up the last 50 exercises that you've given patients. So, I mean, there does have to be some level of constant routine to your practice, but I also feel like you should force yourself out of your comfort zone on a regular basis.
Right. And if a motion is too complex, then the person that you're teaching that motion to or that exercise to is not going to get it anyway. At best, they'll forget it. At worst, they'll hurt themselves trying to replicate it. But to your point, Joe, and Zach, definitely chime in on this. I think physical therapists and chiropractors to some extent as well, are so unique in that, right, that we can take the knowledge that we have, the scientific background, and combine it with a superficial layer. And I don't mean that in any condescending way, but personal training, you learn, yes, you learn some background information, but not to the depth that you learn in physical therapy and chiropractic, because those are medical professions. So the stuff that we learn, and if we sometimes just get our heads out of our asses and work with personal trainers and strength and conditioning coaches and learn what they know about exercises and coming up with exercises and combine it with our deep understanding of the human body, that's powerful stuff. I mean, that's why our buddy John Russin is killing it, because he's doing that. He's combining his really in-depth knowledge of human mechanics, human body, with his exercise creation. I mean, that's crazy stuff, Zach, and that's kind of what you're doing too.
Yeah, absolutely. I learned just as much from people in the fitness, strength and conditioning worlds as I do in the physical therapy worlds. And if you're blocked off to learning from or not actively seeking out those guys, you're going to really limit your growth, and you're going to always be stuck inside that PT bubble. You're always going to be practicing in the same patterns and not developing yourself or getting your patients as good as you possibly could. And, you know, John Russin's one of those guys that's really crossed the line. Guys like Eric Cressy from the strength conditioning world that are really pushing rehab, prehab exercises forward. And, those guys bring a lot to the table when it comes to us as physical therapists improving ourselves.
And there's not a lot of people like that. I mean, going back to social media for a bit to kind of go full circle and finishing out a little bit, guys like John and Mike Reinold and Eric Cressy and guys that are in the physical therapy world, but also strength conditioning experts that put out stuff on social media regularly, that's a small group. I mean, if you look at all the thousands of people out there, there's not that many people doing what you guys are doing and you're growing into that. So how do you differentiate yourself a little bit, but how do you keep pushing that forward? Like, what are you using in terms of marketing to make sure that your voice goes on the same level as those guys?
So, you know, besides the consistency of treatment or consistency of sharing, you know, you got to have a good brand name behind you. I think that's one big thing that you've talked about before. I think a lot of guys are out there trying to promote stuff, but they're not doing it with a brand as their whole mindset of developing. They're just putting random things out there, not towards specific purposes. So that to me is one big thing that I've changed in the last year, where everything I do is revolved around pushing the brand as a whole forward. And sometimes that might mean me putting out a little bit of a controversial exercise that stirs the pot a little bit and gets some people talking a little. Other times that means me just taking an exercise to the next level.
All right. So let's finish out. Joe, do you have any closing questions for Zach?
What has it done to your business, Zach? You started in September. What have you seen as far as your business growth since that time?
So my clinic business and my online brand are fairly separate, to be honest with you. With the barbellphysio.com, I'm more concerned with reaching people internationally. I do get a handful of patients at a time that find out about me through seeing my Instagram or Facebook or finding my website, but it's not marketed towards bringing my clinic up. I think it's a little easier to build a national brand when you don't have to focus on one specific location, but I do get a decent number of people. But for me, how I end up making the brand of the Barbell Physio work for me is when I do have a CrossFitter come in to see me, you better believe I'm pulling, when I'm sending them a home exercise program, I'm going to my Instagram or my YouTube page and sending them exercises from that so that they can see, you know, the quality of content I put out there so that I get some buy-in from them. But, you know, it's a little easier to grow your brand when you don't have to focus on one specific location. But it does help in the clinic some.
Right. No, that's good information.
I think that's awesome. I think that's really a good way to use everything you're putting out anyway, all the exercises, and just shooting an email to the patient saying, hey, check this out, that they already see that and they can see all the people that have watched, that they can see everybody that has commented And I mean, that's a bit of a placebo effect in itself to see that, hey, my physical therapist is really out there and doing all this stuff. This is really cool exercises. That's motivational. And I mean, that has potential to help them with the exercise in itself and with you in general. I mean, that, like you said, that's buy-in.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to help you attract the clientele that you want to bring to your clinic anyway, right? I mean, just having that presence out there, you know, if they're in your area, they're trying to choose between, you know, your clinic, and, you know, one of the big box clinics, you know, that's got to make it an easy decision for them.
Right. I'm sure it probably helps me out. You know, it definitely helps out with the buy-in. You know, if somebody comes to me and they see that I've got X number of followers, and every time I post a video, I get a good number of likes on it, and I'm giving them that exercise, absolutely, it's going to create a little bit of a buy-in effect with them. And if that makes them believe more that I'm going to be the person that helps them out, or believe that I'm going to get them better a little faster, whether that's a placebo effect or whatever, I'm fine with that. I want to get them bought into the brand that I'm selling in the clinic as well. And I'm sure also on the back end, you know, when that CrossFitter or that Olympic weightlifter has a friend that gets hurt, I'm sure that they've told their friends or tagged their friends in some of my videos, and through some stuff that I can't measure, it's probably helped me out a little bit more in the clinic than I'd probably imagine it does.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's a good strategy and good philosophy to have. And, so let me ask you, finish out your top three favorite exercises, your go-tos.
In rehab or for fitness?
Let's do both, rehab and fitness.
Okay, rehab. I'm going to say it has to be some form of loaded carry. Then I'll have to say step ups. Loaded step ups would be next. And then some form of hip hinge. I know that's a broad category, but I think that's something that most people in rehab could use. In the fitness world, I'm going to say that's going to be heavy squats. That'll be power cleans and push presses.
How do you define heavy? What is heavy?
When you have the weight on your back, you think, holy crap, am I going to actually be able to lift this for the number of reps I need to do?
So
no scientific, this isn't a percentage-based anything. This is you put the weight on your back, you step back, and you think, oh, man, getting to 5 reps is going to be rough today.
So it's kind of like a rate of perceived exertion type of thing.
Yes, when you get to, on a scale of 0 to 10, holy crap, how is this going to happen? You've hit the mark.
It's the looking around, please God, let there somebody be to spot me, or this is how my life ends right now.
I can't drop it, or everybody's going to look at me and know that I failed.
Yeah, so please don't let anybody have their phone out, because I'll be that guy that's going to be on the YouTube channel of CrossFit fails. Please don't let anybody be out. Please, oh, God damn it, he's got his phone out. Take the weight.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that, man. Yeah, I need to keep that in mind. If I mess up royally and somebody posts a video online and says, you know, this guy that's writing for CrossFit Journal doesn't know how to do this and is failing and killing himself, that would probably be some bad PR for me and CrossFit.
Yes or no? I mean, like if it's a pink dumbbell, maybe. But I mean, if you're stacking a ton of weight and you try it out and it fails, yeah, at least you have a little bit of an out there. Not much, but at least something.
Yeah. I fell off a pull-up rig one time when my grip gave out, and thankfully nobody got a video of that, or I'd be on like one of those epic CrossFit fails YouTube videos that pop up all the time on my accounts.
Exactly. I'm sure it was a funny moment once you realized that all your limbs were attached.
Yes, and somehow I didn't knock my vertebra out of alignment.
That's shocking. That's shocking to me. Shocking to hear, but...
Yes.
I'm sure you could always have somebody pop it right back in with the Jedi force. So speaking of exercises and everything that we talked about and your Instagram and YouTube and all that stuff, where can our listeners find some of the stuff that you put out, some of the stuff that we talked about, and if they have any questions for you?
All right. The website is thebarbellphysio.com. On Facebook and Instagram is thebarbellphysio. And then on Twitter, I am thelongdpt. Best places to find me. And on Periscope, the long The Barbell Physio.
Simple enough. Excellent. All right, Joe, any closing comments or thoughts?
No, Zach, thanks for coming on.
Appreciate y'all having me. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. I'll keep watching your stuff and vicariously lifting through you.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that episode with Zach Long. So the big question I have for you, listeners, what do you think? Do you agree? Are physical therapists capable and equipped to teach, to promote, to actually do heavy lifting? Is it relegated to CrossFit? I mean, is it just CrossFit that has that? I don't know myself. From what I've heard it and seen, it's a mixed bag. It really is. And I think that's a bit of a shame. And I think our colleagues in the strength and conditioning world are doing some really, really cool stuff. You know, my buddy John Russin is doing some really cool stuff, and he's one of those quote unquote hybrids, physical therapist and strength and conditioning coach. And I think it's something that we should really open up our minds to. And look, I know people coming into rehab and post-surgical and things like that are not going to be squatting 300 pounds. I get that. Like, we still need to do that. We still need to have a piece of that. But let's not look down on the clinicians that are branching out and looking to lift heavy and see how we can work together and how we can integrate some of this stuff from the athletes to the 70, 80 year olds that should be able to do this. So thanks for listening. Check us out on iTunes. Please leave us a review. We were like number 17 in all of iTunes Science and Medicine last week. That's crazy. And that's thanks to your reviews. So as always, thanks for listening. Catch you next week on Therapy Insiders.